Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads and grow your business fast.
Good morning. Welcome to the Stutzman's Home and Garden Show. Right here on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, I'm Dave Wilson. Jason French, our lawn and garden expert, is here from Stutzman's to answer your lawn and garden questions. You can call this morning at 316-869-1330. That's 316-869-1330. You can also send your question via the KNSS Facebook page, too. Hey, good morning, Jason.
Hey, good morning.
Here we are, starting to feel like a little more like late spring, early summer. Looks like we're going to have temperatures in the mid-80s throughout the weekend. Pretty good weather to get outside and get some gardening done, right?
Yeah, should be nice, especially after all that rain. You should be able to almost watch things grow with some temperatures in the 80s. And, you know, we have some more forecasted rain over the next week even. So as long as we can keep some of that going every so often, I'm pretty happy and everything stays in pretty good shape that way.
Yeah, we'll certainly take that rain. Let's talk about your manager's specials you have going on this weekend there at the Stutzman's location.
You know, that's kind of a fun special we do. And, you know, some things you will find at every store. I know we're doing a lot of buy three, get one free on geraniums and some of the 4.5-inch, the premium annuals. But we'll also find things that each store will decide and add and change. And it may change daily or weekly on some of those. But kind of a fun way to stop by and see what kind of things you might get a deal on this time of year, and making a little room as we start having a lot of our summer crop is growing and getting ready to come in, and nice to have all new stuff as we go through summer for everybody.
Yeah, let's talk about maybe some of those heat tolerant plants we would want to pick up here for the summertime. What are some of those?
You know, and it's a there's a few items you will see in our summer program that you don't see in the spring. A Mexican petunia is one I can think of right offhand, and there's a few other items, but a lot of them you did see in springtime just because they are such good performing plants. But some of the plants we have in spring, if we plant them, you know, April, May, June, you know, they can get established and grow through it, and they're just fine for summertime as well. So it's not that everything you bought in spring is no good anymore, but, you know, sometimes we need to add something, or, you know, maybe something bad happened to one of the plants in one of our containers and we need to replace something. Well, as we start having those really warmer nights and days, some of those types of plants just don't get established as well. And so we've kind of pared down summer to, we grow in a little bit bigger pot. It's a 5.5-inch pot instead of a 4.5-inch pot. So we have a little more soil to get a little bit bigger root to start with. But these are things that, you know, can pop right into a container if a plant was bad, or maybe we had, you know, a true spring plant like a pansy or something in there that needed replaced. Well, they're big enough that they can go right in there and compete with everybody, but they're types of plants that are going to like that weather. I mean, you're going to see lots of different colors and kinds of, say, you know, vinca, begonias, lantanas, the sun patients, you know, all those things we are pretty common, but very heat tolerant. And then you'll also see some other things in there, you know, some of the little sedums, and or which are great in containers, but also can be used as a perennial. There's a couple other little perennial things that might be found in there. Silver mound, it's a little soft gray perennial that really likes it warm, so we don't do it in the spring. It's just part of the summer program. But really some nice stuff. You know, there's sweet potato vine, and a lot of those things we're expecting to see. We also do, it's not as extensive as summertime, but we do some different herbs and things in that summer program. And, you know, one that we do in the summer program, I know, is we do parsley, because we have one, people like to use it as a cooking element, but a lot of people also do butterfly gardens and things, and the swallowtails really like the flat leaf parsley as a food source for the caterpillars. So we get people that, you know, keep some of that around during the late spring, summertime as well, to feed some of those little caterpillars as well. So some neat stuff in the summer program.
Now, if we have like a shaded patio area, do some of those plants work well there too, or do we need to look at a completely different group of plants to put there?
No, we do have quite a few things in the summer program that would tolerate shade to part shade, and in baskets and planters, as well as in that 5.5-inch pot to plant. So, I mean, we do all sizes of things, but, you know, the different begonias are always really good for those locations. We have some different coleus that, you know, part sun, part shade type of thing, but the sun patient is another one that's really shade tolerant and does fairly well. So we try to incorporate you know, some of those things in the program as well.
Okay, very well. You're listening this morning to the Stutzman's Home and Garden Show. If you have a question about your lawn or garden, you can ask Jason at 316-869-1330, 316-869-1330. Looks like Harold has sent us a question on Facebook today. He says he has broadleaf weeds in his lawn, and he's asking what he can use to get rid of those with that that won't hurt his dogs.
And that's something, you know, you need to read your label and follow it. But, you know, I did lawn care professionally for a while, long, long ago, and still we sell and handle, and I use a lot of those things as well. And recommendation, I mean, your most effective things are going to be like the Weed Beater Ultra. We talk about it quite a bit, and it's a good one even as we get to this time of the year. It doesn't have some of those 2,4-D when we're warm that can vaporize and drift somewhere you don't want it. So, I mean, it's good for this time of year as well. But what you would really need to do is remove the dogs from the area, whether they go into a side yard or inside or wherever, and then you would want to apply your weed control, and then you'd want to be sure and keep them off of it until it has had a chance to dry. Then it should be okay to release them out there again. If I was really, really concerned, and it's a little more difficult, but do the treatment, let it all dry, let the rest of that day go by, and then maybe the next day if you wanted to water, you could. But main thing is getting it applied and letting it fully dry. It kind of bonds onto the leaf, and the plant really starts absorbing it in that drying process. But we do want to keep them off of it when it is wet. That's when they're going to pick it up on their paws and have it more likely to have an issue with that. And different breeds are more sensitive to allergies and skin irritations than other breeds as well. But And the same thing would hold true with children as well. I mean, we'd want to keep them off of any treated area until it can fully dry.
All right, Harold, thank you so much for your question this morning. When it comes to hanging baskets, Jason, a lot of us have those. How can we keep our annuals looking good and thriving all through the summer in a hanging basket?
You know, there's two things that I think really are key. You know, one, having the right plant for the right amount of sun and everything you're getting is going to be a prerequisite. But once we have them and they're growing and doing their thing, hanging basket being elevated like that, and usually there's quite a bit of plant to the basket, they dry out a lot more frequently, so we do need to water them pretty regularly. Well, in that course of watering, and when we go through a streak like we just went through with the frequent rains and several inches, pushes a lot of the nutrients out of that potting soil. So baskets, hanging baskets especially, and containers, we need to make sure we're fertilizing them pretty regularly, because so much of that does get pushed out and then the bigger plant uses a lot of it. The other thing, and it's a little more difficult one to get people to do. A lot of times they're a little nervous about it, but pruning and a little trimming on your hanging baskets is really key to keeping them full and keeping them nice looking and blooming. Petunias are probably one of the most common ones in a hanging basket. And those I just like to go through as they start to get long and, you know, maybe closer to the bottom of the pot as far as they're hanging down. If we just go through and ring around there and take, you know, kind of almost a bowl cut in a way, and just take off that bottom layer pretty flat, it can't get any longer and grow any farther down because we took that growing point off when we trimmed, until those branches branch out and then those new side shoots have to grow all the way down and get longer. Well, in their course of doing that, they are growing on the top and sides of that plant and creating lots of new bloom and making that thicker and fuller and more blooming. But if we don't, they tend to get pretty long, and then the wind can really start whipping them, and then you also get into that, like I was talking about earlier, that plant mass versus how much water you have. So keeping them trimmed occasionally really is good for them to maintain that plant.
Now, when it comes to pruning, Jason, is there a certain kind of shear that works better in our garden for that kind of job, or are there several?
You know, for those annual things like that, where we're dealing more with a green tissue, if you would, as opposed to, you know, a shrub or a tree or something where we're woodier, for those I like, and they can be specific garden shears, but just a nice good pair of scissors actually is what we use and what I personally use at home, but even here in the greenhouse where we go around the bottom and give them a little trim, some nice sturdy scissors work well. And, you know, just like any other tool, though, when you get done, you know, you do want to wash them off. Some of those saps from different plants get them kind of gummy and they get hard to work. But, you know, keeping them nice, it doesn't have to be anything fancy. Like I said, it can be, you know, some specific little garden shears, but you want something with that real sharp edge, and it's going to give you that finer, cleaner cut, as opposed to, you know, when we're doing a hedge or something and we have those big giant scissor hedge shears and we're just rounding it off and we're cutting a little bit thicker stems and it's not quite as clean cut. We want more of that clean even, and a scissor just really is probably the ideal way.
All right. And when it comes to hanging baskets, I know you guys have a great selection there. We stopped at a couple of your Wichita locations last weekend and saw all sorts of varieties of hanging baskets there.
And we do. And, you know, again, going into this warm season, you're going to start seeing more, you know, petunias are always great with summertime. And, you know, if you like pink, that bubble gum is by far the number one petunia for growth and vigor. But, you know, vinca has a large flat, quarter to half dollar sized flower on it in whites and reds and pinks, and they do really well. There's, you know, lantana. I've talked about it before, but it's really one of my favorite summer plants. It has little clusters of bright, usually yellows and oranges. There's some hot pink colors in there as well, but there are some varieties now, Little Lucky and Lucky, and some of those that are a little more appropriate for a hanging basket or a container. 15, 20 years ago when you planted lantana, you planted it pretty much just in the ground, and it was 2+ feet tall and just this really bloomy but really big plant. And, you know, through breeding and all, we have a lot of those little luckies that, you know, might only get 10 or 12 inches tall and then 18 inches wide or something, which is just a perfect nice size for a hanging basket like that. So, you know, there are some really great summer ones. And again, for shade, begonias, the sun patiens, you know, there's several different things that'll tolerate quite a bit of shade as well. So, yeah, a lot of choices in those.
You're listening to the Stutzman's Home and Garden Show this morning. If you have a question for Jason from Stutzman's, 869-1330 is the number. That's 316-869-1330. Christina sent us a question to the KNSS Facebook page. She says, can I still plant summer blooming bulbs in late spring or early summer?
You could still be planting, gladiolas, caladiums, probably, if you could find them, cannas. I mean, you're just going to have to remember you're starting, you know, 3 or 4 weeks later than ideal. You're probably going to be a little bit later in the season when they're coming on. But those summer blooming ones, they like warm weather. They're very tolerant of that. And as the soils warm up, they grow faster. So you do get the benefit of, if you're planting them now, they should sprout and take off very quickly. And so they'll make up some of that lost ground. But we're just first of June. I don't think you would have any problems with doing some of those this time of year.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
All right, Christine, thank you so much for your question this morning. Let's shift to the yard here, Jason. If we have like the old thick turf in our yard, what's the best way to feed that and keep it looking good?
You know, most of the time, most people have, you know, the cool season grass that's going to be a fescue. And whether it's a older variety like the K31 or something that has a little bit wider blade, or some of the newer, a little bit thinner kinds, we really probably want to finish up with our spring fertilizing, you know, pretty quickly. I usually think March and May, and, you know, we're still May today, and you know, next week is pretty much still May, so I mean, you're not too late, but I would get that done. The part being that those types of grasses struggle a little bit more when we get really hot, and so we don't put a lot of feed to them. And also, as we get some of those really warmer nights, if we have a lot of nitrogen, a lot of that fertility available, you also can have some fungus issues from over-fertilizing in the summertime. So, you know, we want to get our second one on, and then for the rest of June and July and the first part of August, Probably just want to do watering, or if you want to do a soil amendment, you know, some gypsum or something to help the soil would be okay. But we really don't want to feed them anymore until later. Now, if I have a warm season grass, which there's quite a few of them, Bermudas, Zoysias, things like that, we would want to feed them June and July. I mean, that's their warm season grass. That's their most active growing time. So we do feed them that type of grass then. So a little bit depends on what you have, but getting that done now. And then as we, which we're not there yet, thankfully, but as we get hotter and drier too, raising that mower blade up a notch will help quite a bit to keep more green blade to the lawn, and it also will kind of help shade that grass a lot more and reduce the amount of water needed to keep it green. But right now, with the temperatures and the moisture we've had, I'd stay, you know, at my spring mowing height for a little bit longer.
Okay, what about watering this week? What would you recommend for how much we should be watering?
You know, we do this show and people listen over a pretty wide area with rains we have this time of year. So kind of as a general guideline, most of our fescue grasses will look really nice if they get about an inch in a week's time. You know, ideally it would be in a couple of waterings, but if we're, you know, in Wichita and on city water where we have our day to water, we want to make sure we get a nice good water in there and, you know, getting that water deep enough so that as the surface dries, the roots have followed that moisture down a little deeper and they're able to use that area that doesn't dry out so fast. Something we might want to do if we haven't ever done this before, if you have a sprinkler system or using sprinklers to water with, get you a small wide can like cat food or tuna fish or something like that came in. We want it to have nice straight sides, but set that out in the grass when you run your sprinkler for whatever cycle you usually run. And when it's done, go out there and look, and I mean, you can use a ruler and measure if you want to get that scientific, but see how much actual water you put on there. And if you're like, oh, well, that was about a quarter of an inch, well, it needs that about four times during the year or during the week. So you might want to run it a little bit longer and just run it, you know, a couple of times. But getting some idea how much water we're putting on there can be pretty important. I mean, if we're not putting on enough, we're just getting so dry between waterings that we're barely re-wetting the soil at all when we water, let alone building that reserve down below. And of course, if we're watering more than we need, the grass is going to grow excessively and we're using more water than we need to be using. So like I said, it's not something you have to check every time you run your sprinklers, but just every once in a while, if you'll check that and see, okay, I ran 30 minutes, I got half an inch on, I probably need to do that twice a week. You know, you can get you a rough idea of what you might need. And then, oh, we got half an inch of rain this week, so I only need to water half as much and probably not for a few days because it just happened. I mean, there's a little bit of a paying attention to it.
Yeah, nice little trick right there when it comes to watering. Jerry's got a Facebook question. He says, how do I know if my lawn needs to be aerated? And if so, when should he do it?
Well, I can just tell you, if you're asking, it probably does. that's probably one of the most valuable and underused treatments a lawn can get. And again, most of the time, we're talking fescue, cool season, fescue bluegrass mixes in a lawn. And those we aerate in the fall. And you can rent an aerator. The best ones pull up a little plug and it lays it on top. It looks like every cat in the neighborhood's been there when you get done. But that's okay. Leave those on there. The next time you mow, it'll break those up and put them back on the soil. And the little plug breaking up like that on top puts those little microbes that break down your thatch, put some of them up on top and water down onto the thatch from the top as well as the ones in soil. So you kind of can help break down that thatch level. But what happens, the bigger importance, I think, to the lawn, pulling that plug up and leaving that hole there, as we rain and as we grow and as, you know, things happen, that ground fractures around that hole to fill it back in a little bit. Well, that loosens up that soil immensely in that root zone. And so water gets in better, things get in better. As we walk and have dogs on it and traffic, it gets really hard and compacted. And we don't really get the water and nutrients in as easily as we can if we would aerate it regularly. But probably September is a good time to do that. A lot of people do an overseeding with the aeration because you've opened up all of these little holes for seed to fall down in, and great way to thicken up the lawn. But really one of the best treatments, I think, especially in our area, that we can do to the lawn is that fall aerating.
All right, Jerry, thank you so much for your question this morning about aeration there for your lawn. Let's talk about vegetables here, Jason. As we get into June, which ones grow the best this time of the year?
You know, we are having a lot of things already planted or should be planted. You know, most tomatoes, peppers, those things are mostly all in the ground and growing. I've got two small tomatoes on a couple of my plants. The others are just getting to a size where they're starting to bloom. So they're really liking this kind of weather. Onions, you know, we started them one of the first things in the garden, and I noticed they're beginning to bulb up. They're not big old bulbs yet ready, but that part's really happening with them. So you see a lot of those going. I think we're probably still harvesting some lettuce and some greens and things. But the other thing that we could still be planting and putting in, all the vining crops, the cucumbers, the squashes, the melons, and those types of things, we're just really warm enough for them to begin taking off. So perfect time to be putting those in or watching them grow extensively. The other thing people frequently do is you kind of plant multiple times on some things, and a lot of people will plant some green beans yet now, and that takes you a little farther into the season. That would be something else we could be seeding and doing right now. Some of our early things, you know, the radishes and some of those root items like that, they'll be about ready to harvest soon, and we can plant those again, but not till we get closer to fall. They like that cooler temperature for growing and developing. So, you know, there are some things as we harvest different things, we can go back in with some new items and kind of keep that same garden space and area going. But we should really, really see some stuff take off from these rains and temperatures as we get some sunny, warmer days happening.
All right, this is the Stutzman's Home and Garden Show. Let's get an update now on what's happening at Stutzman's with Ben Miller.
If your plants could talk, they'd all say Stutzman's.
Stutzman's Greenhouse.
Good morning, everyone. Hi, this is Ben Miller. Thanks for listening to today's broadcast of the Stutzman's Home and Garden Show. More with Jason coming up. It's been so wonderful to receive the much-needed rain and watch your landscapes flourish this spring. On behalf of all of us at Stutzman's, I want to thank everyone who has shared our passion and the healthy lifestyle of gardening with us. Be sure and visit one of our garden centers, as each location will be featuring an in-store manager special of their choice. Get ready for these hardy summer plants coming soon that will enhance any of your area. Again, this is Ben Miller. Have a great day, enjoy this beautiful time of year, and take time for family and friends this weekend. We hope to see you soon at one of our 12 garden centers. Now back to Jason and the Home and Garden Show, brought to you by Stutzman's Greenhouse and Garden Centers. Happy savings, and come join us in a healthy lifestyle of gardening.
At Stutzman's Greenhouse, everything's green with us.
And this is the Stutzman's Home and Garden Show this morning.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, And you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.